Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 5, 1887 to 1888. Diary, January to May, 1887. Switzerland, January 1st to May 15th, 1887. Portions of this manuscript are published in 1SM 147, 3MR 374 to 375. 6MR 193, 8MR 445 to 446, 9MR 94 to 95, 3BIO 361 to 363, EGWE 267 to 269, 271 to 274. January 1st, 1887. Basel. Sabbath, New Year's. I spoke to 25 who understood English, without an interpreter, in regard to our duty and obligations to God and how to begin the year aright. We then had a social meeting. Many testimonies were born and many confessions made, well wet down with tears. It was a profitable meeting. Assembled our people together, and I spoke to them through an interpreter, wishing them all a happy new year. I strove to call their attention away from themselves to God and His rich blessings. January 4th, 1887. Was sick with malaria attack. January 7th, 1887. I arise this morning at 4:30 and am thankful for the sweet rest I have had in sleep. February 4th, 1887. Tremelin, Switzerland. Left Basel at 10 o'clock this morning. We were pleased with the wonderful scenery. February 5th, 1887. Tremelin. I arise before others are up and write 8 pages to Elder Loughborough. Sabbath forenoon, Elder Ings spoke to the church upon the gifts. In the afternoon, I spoke upon the words in Malachi 3. Verse 16 to 18 and 4:1-2. The Lord gave me much freedom in speaking. Brother John Vuillemier was my interpreter. The Spirit of the Lord set home the words spoken with power to the hearts. We had a social meeting and many testimonies were born with deep feeling. Brother Gwenin's eldest son had taken no part with the church for more than a year. He spoke with deep feeling, confessing his wrongs. His tears flowed freely. He said he would change his course. He would seek to be a blessing to himself and to others, and to honor God with a better Christian life. He seemed to be in real earnest. His mother spoke for the first time. She became disgusted with the course of Tchaikovsky, and she became prejudiced with all who came from America. But a change came over her, and she expressed her desire to take part with the people of God. Still another young man who had fallen into great sin arose and made a humble confession and asked the forgiveness of those he had injured. This was a blessed season. Brother Gwenin bore a good testimony. He said that for years he had been deeply anxious for his brother. During the week of prayer, he made his case a special subject of prayer. His brother lived several miles from Tremelin. He was deeply exercised upon the Sabbath. He told his wife that he could not work on another Sabbath, for his tools seemed so heavy the past Sabbath, as though they would drop out of his hands, and the reading of the pamphlet, The Sufferings of Christ, fully decided him to keep the Sabbath. There was still another case, an intelligent man, deeply interested in the truth. He had hopes that he would take a decided stand. This brother expected to lose his place, but his employer told him to go on as he had done, and thus the Lord worked in his favor. We then returned to the house of Brother Roths, the young man and his sisters, and a number of others. I was requested to pray. Brother John Vuillemier interpreted. Brother Gwenin went to all in the house, shaking hands while the tears ran down his face. He shook hands with his three sisters, all strong in the faith, and saluted them. He seemed to be deeply affected. There was weeping upon the necks of some of the brethren as they embraced each other. Sister Roth said, "Peace has come into my house." Tremolin. I spoke in the National Chapel. The National Minister opened the meeting with prayer and singing. I spoke nearly 2 hours with much freedom while the people listened with the greatest attention. There was not one who was asleep or uneasy. Sunday evening, Brother Ings spoke to those assembled in the chapel. February 7, 1887. Tremolin. Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we left in a sleigh for the depot and were on our way to Basel. We were conveyed the first 6 miles in a dummy. The little boxcar contained two apartments. One of these seated only 5 persons. The other was a smoking car. We waited 1 hour at Tavan and stepped on board the train that took us without change to Basel. We arrived at the depot at 1 o'clock and found our horse and carriage waiting for us, which took us to the mission. We found our friends all well, and we were very thankful to get home again. I spoke in Tremolin 4 times and wrote 50 pages of notepaper. Supplementary item. We returned from Tremolin to Basel February 7th. We found that special efforts were being made with all connected with the mission building to draw nigh to God by confession and earnest prayer that the blessing of the Lord might be granted us in a special manner when our conference and council should convene. Meetings were held at 6:30, commencing February 6th. I commenced to give morning talks February 7th, 8. We labored earnestly with our brethren and sisters for deeper spirituality and knowledge of the will of God. We felt the great need, as laborers together with God, of meeting a higher standard. The Lord has said of his people, "You are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. We are representatives of Bible truth. God has made us the repositories of his truth. Then let none hold the truth in unrighteousness, but let the spirit, the words, and deportment correspond with the principles of truth we claim to believe. February 8, 1887. Basel. Tuesday, prepared article to send to America. Sent 15 pages to Elder Loughborough, 4 pages to Elder Butler. Sent 8 pages to Elder Haskell. Attended morning meeting and gave a short talk to those assembled. There is need of a thorough work of elevation of thought, of habits, of conversation with all connected with the building, from the oldest to the youngest. Sacred things are placed upon a level with common things. February 9, 1887. Basel. Attended morning meeting and bore a plain, close testimony. How my heart is burdened over the condition of the spiritual state of those connected with the office. They are low in thought, common in conversation, and sacred things are not discerned. There is some little softening of spirits, and we hope some approaching to the light with some. I spoke to them in regard to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is certain the enemy has been busily at work in those who are connected with our establishment. There is a spirit with some to be low in thought, low in conversation, low in morals. February 10, 1887. Basel. I spoke to them this morning upon the necessity of pressing to the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Some confessions are made, but there are those who have not surrendered. I feel deeply over the existing state of things. How can the Lord manifest his power and bless us as we now are? How can the Lord bear with our perversities? February 11th, 1887, Basel. I felt deeply in the meeting this morning. I spoke most earnestly to those assembled with deep feeling. There is need of God's working for us and by us and through us. We cannot receive light unless we come into a position where God can reflect it upon us. February 12, 1887, Basel. It is the Holy Sabbath. We assemble at 6:30 again in morning meeting. The blessing of the Lord is so much needed here to set things in order. We had a very solemn meeting. Many testimonies of confessions were made, but we do not touch bottom yet. There was a morning discourse by Elder Ings. There was a social meeting for the German new converts. Meeting in afternoon in German. Brother Erzenberger spoke to the people. Three were baptized and the ordinances administered. February 13, 1887. Basel. Attended early morning meeting and spoke with much pain of heart in regard to the low state of spirituality among us. But yet there is not a break except with a few. The Spirit of the Lord is evidently at work, and oh, that we may see the work go deeper and deeper. Some confessions were made with many tears. Basel. I have had a very heavy burden to carry through the night. The Lord has impressed me with some things and laid open more fully before me the things that must be corrected before the Lord will work with us as a people. I bore a very close, cutting testimony in regard to the low standard that was met by our people, and that there had been a helping one another in a wrong course rather than urging one another to pursue a right course. Deception, falsehood, and dissembling have been practiced, and those who are agents in this work are sharing the guilt of the one they are sympathizing with, and the confidences between them are unsanctified. I was afterward informed that Alas au Franc had left her father's house on the Sabbath and gone to Locle. She ran away from home. This is the fruit of these flirtations and courtships, and one of our best girls in the office has known her purpose, but kept it all to herself. This is no doubt considered a little chapter in romance, for those who do these things are not those who read their Bibles, but those who read fiction and romance. In the evening held another meeting, and read to those connected with the establishment the letter I wrote to Edith before she died. What the effect of this letter will be, I cannot say. It is a solemn letter indeed. Made some remarks. It was 9:00, and we closed the meeting. February 15, 1887. Basel. Held meetings, 1 a.m. Read in the evening matters in regard to blank, his flirtation and courtship. Made some remarks. February 16, 1887. Basel. Finished reading the letter of blank and made remarks. Brother Fry made confession of his wrong course. We had a long talk with him and prayed with him. He seems humble and to be much affected. February 17, 1887. Basel. Thursday evening our conference commenced. There were quite a number from abroad. Brethren Bordeaux from Italy. Sister Bordeaux is again hopeful. The letter with words of comfort was to her like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Daniel is quite feeble, has taken cold. Basel. I spoke to those assembled from John 15, verse 1 to 8. The Lord helped me to give a very solemn discourse upon the necessity of being in Christ as the branch is in the vine, in order to bear the right quality of fruit. The Spirit of the Lord helped my infirmities. I was blessed of God indeed. Basel. Sabbath forenoon, the Lord blessed me in speaking upon the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, that in his human nature he bore temptation and overcame in our behalf. If he withstood temptation in his divine power, then he could not be tempted in all points like man. For it would be he was tempted as a God rather than as a man. God opened before me most precious light upon the Scriptures. I was greatly refreshed in my own soul, and I am convinced the Lord blessed the people greatly as they listened to the words spoken. February 20th, 1887. Basel. In the afternoon of the Sabbath, February 19th, we assembled again for social meeting. The blessing of the Lord rested upon me as I again addressed the people for a short time. Every seat was full, and extra seats were brought in. All listened with deep interest. I invited those who desired the prayers of the servants of God to come forward. All who had been backslidden, all who wished to return to the Lord and seek Him diligently, could improve the opportunity. Several seats were quickly filled, and the whole congregation was on the move. We told them the best they could do was to be seated right where they were, and we would all seek the Lord together by confessing our sins. The Lord has pledged His word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. Many testimonies were born in quick succession and with depth of feelings, showing that the hearts were touched by the Spirit of God. Our meetings continued from 2 o'clock to 5, and then we were obliged to close with several earnest prayers. At 7:30, the seats were well filled, and I spoke to an interested company upon the subject of temperance. The Lord gave me great freedom in speaking, and I am requested to speak again upon the same subject this evening, Sunday. My text was the first chapter of Daniel. Those present listened with intense interest. In the evening, at 7 p.m., I spoke again upon the subject of temperance, with no abating of the interest. The pledge was then passed through the congregation, and 137 names were attached to it. This was a victory gained. Many appropriate remarks were made while the pledge was being passed through the congregation. The hymn, "Hold the Fort," was sung with hearty, round voices. My heart has been filled with praise and gratitude to God for the strength which He had imparted to me during these meetings. Basel. I spoke again to our brethren and sisters upon health reform, taking up the subjects of pure air, pure water, a clean, sweet atmosphere in our houses and in the stables where cattle are kept, and the health-destroying habits of women in compressing the waist. I had great freedom in speaking, and we hope that good will be done. My text was, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you," etc. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Basel. I spoke again to the people assembled in conference from Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, etc. I dwelt upon the importance of making our social meetings interesting, that one man wasn't to do all the talking, but everyone should bear his testimony. It has been the habit of one man to get up and talk from 1/2 hour to 1 hour. This is called meditation. Then the interest of the meeting is gone, and no one feels that he has any testimony to bear. One or two make a few remarks, and the meetings close, and there has not been the habit of having social meetings in Europe. But we are seeking to educate them on this point, that it is the duty of everyone who loves God and the truth to speak to one another words of experience and of comfort, and to tell of God's goodness, His love, and His great mercy in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were enemies to God. February 23, 1887, Basel. I have written 12 pages to Dr. Kellogg in answer to a letter received February 22. Rode out for health. Had conversation with Elder Bordeaux. My lungs trouble me. I have taken cold and taxed them considerable. Meetings are being held every day for the workers. February 24, 1887. Basel. Arise at 4. Write 5 pages to Edson White, 4 pages to an afflicted sister at the Battle Creek Sanitarium who has written to me for light and words of comfort. May the Lord bless the words I have written to the afflicted one. After breakfast, wrote 5 pages in addition to 8 pages to Brother Fry. Wrote 4 pages to Sister Hutchins, 2 pages to Sister Hall. Rode out in afternoon with Sister Whitney. It is a very pleasant day. The meetings are going on for instruction of laborers. Had talk with Abel Bede, also with Brother Bordeaux. February 25, 1887. Basel. Arise at 4 o'clock. Wrote 4 pages to Dr. Maxson and his wife in answer to a letter received from Sister Maxson. I spoke to those assembled in meeting at 5:30. Then we had a social meeting. Good testimonies were born. We had meetings in the chapel all day. My lungs pain me much. I have taken a severe cold. Wrote 3 pages to J.E. White. We had a very pleasant ride. Mary, Ella, the little Mabel, and I composed the company with John Roth, driver. Visited with Sister Bordeaux. W.C. White conversed with me, and we thought it would be pleasing to the Lord to appropriate, in addition to the 200 already appropriated to the Scandinavian mission, 100 more to help purchase a tent and 75 more to be used for the purchase of a library. February 26, 1887. Basel. We assembled this morning in the chapel. I gave a morning talk from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. The Lord gave me much freedom in speaking, and His blessing rested upon me. Oh, that the Lord would impress His people with their high and exalted privilege. Meetings all day of various orders. February 27, 1887. Basel. We assembled in the chapel. I gave a morning talk. Search the Scriptures, etc. John 5, verse 39. Basel. Spoke from Colossians 1, verse 25 to 29. I felt deeply the importance of this subject, and the Lord helped me to speak very plainly in love to my brethren. These words were reported. Good testimonies were born by Bordeaux, Wilbur Whitney, and several others. Bordeaux spoke decidedly to the point. March 1, 1887. Basel. Gave morning talk from Acts 20, verse 26 to 28. March 3, 1887. Basel. Spoke this morning from Philippians 4, verse 4 to 6. Good social meeting. March 4, 1887. Basel. Spoke in the morning meeting, translated by Bordeaux. Philippians 4, verse 7, 8. Our social meeting was good. Basel. Elder Wilbur Whitney preached. In afternoon, we had a select meeting for the ministers, and the Lord graciously met with us. There were deep feelings in the meetings. There was much weeping and humiliation of soul. All prayed with much weeping. Basel. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12. My mind was taken into a channel wholly unexpectedly to me upon the subject of patience and kindness and forbearance with one another. Basel. Spoke in the morning meeting from Ephesians 4, verse 30 to 32. Some made humble confessions, but there is not a break yet, as there must be, before the Spirit of the Lord will come in and have free course and be glorified. Basel. Tuesday morning. Talk from Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. Some good confessions were made, more to the point than heretofore. March 15th. Have written 17 pages notepaper. March 18th. Wrote several pages. March 19th. Wrote. March 20th. Wrote 19 pages. March 21st. 25 largest pages. March 21st. 19 pages. March 22nd. 2 large pages. March 22nd, 1887. Basel. Wrote 25 pages, large scratchbook pages. Arise at one, much burdened because of the condition of the mission here. The families are such as should not be in this building. Wrote 9 pages in regard to the condition of things. Wrote 16 pages for volume 1. Had some talk with Elder Bordeaux in regard to his brother. He is disposed to leave the family to go to France. We can see no light in it. Sister Bordeaux should go to America and take her 2 children, Jesse and Sarah. March 23rd, 15 large pages. March 24th, 16 pages. March 25th, 1887, Basel. Wrote 30 pages. I was too much burdened to sleep after 2 o'clock. March 26th, 1887, Basel. Spoke to the congregation in chapel from Genesis 18:19. I did not know I was expected to speak until 1 hour previous to my going into meeting. But I believe it to be our duty to be ready for service at a moment's warning. I felt like praying earnestly to God to make the words spoken effectual in reaching the hearts of the hearers. And the Lord heard my prayer, and His Spirit did touch my heart and the hearts of the hearers. I invited those who wished to seek the Lord most earnestly and to take a more decided stand for the Lord, to be not only professionally believers in the truth, but to be obedient to all of God's requirements. Many moved forward, and heartfelt testimonies of confession were made, and the Spirit of the Lord was in our midst to soften and subdue hearts. The meeting closed with earnest prayer to God. We were engaged for 3 hours in this exercise. Wrote 10 pages, large scratchbook. March 27th, 1887. Basel. Cloudy today. Rains some. Brother and sister Cogshell left for Norway. Wrote 12 pages. April 5th and 6th, 1887. Basel. Wrote 48 pages. 30 pages of this was letter paper, 18 notepaper. Sent a long communication to be read at the Oakland April meeting. Sent letters to Elder Butler. April 7th. Wrote 14 pages letter paper. April 8th. Wrote 15 pages volume 1. April 9th. Wrote 15 pages letter paper, article for paper. Basel. I have overworked. had meeting and evening with the families connected with this building. I spoke very plainly about how the boarders should be treated and how the tables should be furnished with nourishing food. Brother and Sister Ditcher responded, "We hope for a change in some respects for the better." April 29, 1887. Basel. Spoke to the people in regard to guarding their tongues. Had freedom in speaking. April 23. 22 pages letter paper. April 24. 22 pages letter paper. April 25. 32 pages letter paper. April 26. 17 pages letter paper, 12 pages note paper. April 27th, wrote 18 pages letter paper. April 28th, 20 pages letter paper. April 29th, 8 pages letter, 12 pages note. May 12th, 1887. Left Basel at 7 o'clock, in company with Mary K. White, W. C. White, Marion Davis, Elder Wilbur Whitney. We had rather an unfavorable time, for it was cloudy and rainy, but we saw much that was interesting notwithstanding. We arrived at Zurich about noon. We were met at the depot by brethren Conradi and Erzenberger. We had an opportunity to visit a Reformed church. One portion of this church was built 312 years after Christ. Their chapels were built small. In it were no seats. The congregation stood while listening to the sermons preached. Attached to this was a cathedral formerly owned by Catholics, now owned by Protestants or Reformers. This structure is 900 years old. The seats are narrow and very uncomfortable. The building is roomy and has alcoves just as it was constructed by the Catholics. In this building, Zwingli preached. There was a pipe organ, and services are held in this building. It was built by Charlemagne. We then visited a chapel. Before it is the monument of Zwingli. Upon the monument is Zwingli in life-size in bronze as he went into battle as chaplain. He has on a large surplice reaching to his feet. One hand rests upon the handle of his sword, while in the other hand he clasps a Bible. We entered the building, which was no longer used for a meeting house, but as a library. Here were ancient books, Latin, Greek, and in every known language, shelves piled with books. We saw open Zwingli's Bible in Greek or Latin, and saw the veritable writing of Zwingli. There were many interesting things to be seen in this building. M. K. White, Marion Davis, and I were accompanied by Brother Erzenberger to his hired house. We here met Sister Erzenberger and his two sturdy German boys. We all had a good appetite for our dinner. Wilbur Whitney, W. C. White, and Elder Conradi were in the city attending to business. After dinner, accompanied by Brother Erzenberger, we had a very pleasant ride on Zurich Lake in a rowboat. The water was very smooth, and we had a good view of the cantons on Zurich Lake. We could see the mountains in the background. This lake is 35 miles long, and we could gather a good idea of the extent of Zurich and the many cantons situated on the borders of the lake. This is a beautiful expanse of water enclosed with banks, which swell upwards with terraced vineyards and pine forests, from amid which hamlets and white villas gleam out amid the trees and cultivated hills, which give variety and beauty to the scenery. While in the far-off distance, the glaciers are seen stretching their icy peaks to the very skies, blending with the golden clouds. On the right, the region is walled in with the craggy ramparts of the Abyss Alps. But the mountains stand back from the shore, and this permits the light to fall freely upon the bosom of the lake and on the ample sweep of its lovely and fertile banks. giving a charm to the picture that the pen of the artists could not possibly describe. The neighboring lake of Zug is in marked contrast to Zurich. The placid waters and slumbering shore seem perpetually wrapped in the shadows of the grand mountains. We returned just in season to enter the streetcar when the rain came pelting against the windows of the car. We had to walk a little distance in the rain to Elder Erzenberger's. There we met brethren who were engaged in missionary work. Brother Perk, the brother from Russia who was imprisoned with Brother Conradi. We had some conversation through an interpreter and engaged in a season of prayer and left for the depot. We reached home at 9:30. May 15, 1887. Supplementary item. We have just returned from visiting Zurich. It is a much prettier city than Basel. The old part of the city contains many historical places of interest. We visited a cathedral. The denomination is called Reformers. The old part of the church was small. There were no seats. All the hearers were compelled to stand and listen to the preaching. This portion of the church was built 312 years after Christ. Everything about this church was very ancient. The body of the church was 900 years old and built curiously enough. The seats look as if made for the discomfort of the congregation, narrow and stiff. They had a pipe organ, the only grand thing about the building. This building was put up by Charlemagne. We gathered many items of interest which we will use. Zwingli preached in this church in 1518. Our party was constituted of Elder Wilbur Whitney, W.C. White, M.K. White, and Baby Mabel, Marion Davis, my copyist, and myself. We visited an old building which had been a church where Zwingli had preached. Here was a life-size statue of Zwingli, clad as he was chaplain of the army when he was killed. He had his Bible in his hand, and his hand leaning on his sword. He has on the dress or coat reaching to his feet, which was worn by the clergy in those days. This monument is above his tomb. We entered the building, and there we found it was used for a library of ancient books in Latin and in Greek and dead languages. We saw here the veritable Bible Zwingli used and letters written by his own hand. We had just been writing upon the Reformers, Wycliffe, Jerome, John Huss, Zwingli, and other Reformers, so I was much interested in all that I saw. We rowed out in a rowboat upon the Zurich Lake, which was narrow but 35 miles long. This gave us a good idea of the extent of Zurich and the many cantons situated on the borders of the lake. Zurich is pleasantly situated on the shores of Lake Zurich. This is a noble expanse of water, enclosed with banks which swell upwards, clothed with vineyards and pine forests, from amid which hamlets and white villas gleam out amid trees and cultivated hills, which give variety and beauty to the picture, while in the far-off horizon the glaciers are seen blending with the golden clouds. On the right, the region is walled in with the craggy rampart of the Abyss Alps, but the mountains stand back from the shore, and by permitting the light to fall freely upon the bosom of the lake and on the ample sweep of its lovely and fertile banks, give a beauty to the picture which pen or brush of the artist could not equal. The neighboring lake of Zug is in marked contrast to Zurich. The placid waters and slumbering shore seem perpetually wrapped in the shadows.